This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, and a great day after the Electoral College met. The electors met in all 50 states, all across the country, and in Washington, D.C. They cast their votes. The votes are now official. They still have to be counted and accepted by the Congress of the United States in joint session. That coming up on January 6th. But do people now have a better feeling about our Electoral College system? It was fascinating to watch some of the live coverage of various meetings of the electors in various parts of the country. And yes, despite threats of some kind of terrorist violence, there was none in the state of Michigan. They met in the Senate chamber, and then they cast their 16 votes for Joe Biden because it was his electors who were selected by the popular vote. Do people have a better understanding of the Electoral College and how it works? Or is there still a feeling somehow that this system is unwieldy? Do people agree with Hillary Clinton that the Electoral College has to be scrapped? We'll be speaking with Trent England, who I've worked with before. Trent, writing for First Things, a wonderful religious publication. Trent makes the case in defense of the Electoral College, which is the position that I agree with. I think the Electoral College is necessary, and it's not going anywhere. We will also speak about a football career that's been very brief. It involved two college-level games, big-time college games, but conspicuous success. It may be coming to an end. COVID-19? Well, no, another reason. We will get to the amazing and much publicized, and I'm sure soon to be a motion picture, story of a Sarah Fuller. That's right, the first female to play in a Power 5 conference game. And she played for a few seconds, but she did well. What now? We will bring you up to date on all of that while looking back on all of the storied highlights of her fabled career. Okay, first up, there's a piece today that appeared in the New York Times, and it's worth sharing because it's so unusually sympathetic to Trump supporters. And the piece is by a reporter named Sabrina Tavernese, and she writes, Richard Everett walked with a heavy heart from his hotel to join a rally being held by President Trump supporters near the White House on Saturday morning. The Supreme Court had just rejected a lawsuit by Texas the night before, extinguishing what little hope Mr. Everett had left for the reelection of Mr. Trump, the man who had inspired the first vote of his life. I almost didn't walk down after last night's announcement, said Mr. Everett, who's 55. He lives in western Pennsylvania. He liked what he said was Mr. Trump's nose-thumbing at the elites of both parties, many of whom had been in power for years and appeared to have grown rich from it. But on this day, he was resigned to losing Donald Trump as president. At this point, it's over, he said. You hate to say it. Supporters gathered for a similar event in November, shortly after the election, but this time the crowd at Freedom Plaza was far smaller and less hopeful, a mood that reflected a month of disappointments. Mr. Trump has lost dozens of court cases. The Supreme Court has rejected his cause twice. And on Monday, the Electoral College gave the final legal stamp of approval to Mr. Trump's loss by a margin of 306 to 232 electoral votes. One thing hasn't changed. the view among Mr. Trump's most faithful followers that he remains the rightful winner of the election. Polls have presented a stark picture of alternate realities. A Fox News poll released Friday found that 77% of those who cast ballots for Mr. Trump said they thought the election had been stolen. Just 10% of Democrats agreed. Another survey conducted by Brightline Watch in late November found that among those who had said they approved of Mr. Trump's performance in office, about half believed that he, not Joe Biden, would be inaugurated in January. Nearly all of the people that we interviewed, says this Times piece, said they believed at least some fraud had been perpetrated. But whether that added up to Mr. Trump's being the true winner was much harder to know. And then they report, what happens next is a critical question for American democracy. What will become of the belief that the 2020 presidential election was in some way illegitimate? Will it melt away along with Mr. Trump's prospects for winning and vanish completely after Mr. Biden is inaugurated, or will it fester, nursed by Republicans in power, and metastasize into something that could be a rallying cry for nationalists for years to come? My opinion is, of course, it will melt away. I think it already is melting away. You can experience that. You can feel it. You can sense it. And right now, the president retweeted this morning a tweet from Lynn Wood. He is the longtime Democrat, and he is. He gave money to Barack Obama. He gave money to John Kerry. He's a longtime Democratic donor. But he's become an enthusiastic Trump supporter and part of that flurry of lawyers associated with Sidney Powell who still believe they can prevail in courtrooms. They just lost another case in Wisconsin yesterday. And what he tweeted, Lynn Wood, was he tweeted, President Trump is a genuinely good man. He does not really like to fire people. I bet he dislikes putting people in jail, especially Republicans. But he gave Brian Kemp and Secretary of State Brett Raffensperger every chance to get it right. But they refused. They will soon be going to jail. And he posted that together with a picture showing the two of them wearing a Chinese communist flag insignias, a Chinese communist flag masks, and then lapel pins, claiming that the very conservative Republican governor would, I guess, be going to jail because he was a Chinese agent. At least so Lynn Wood believes. This is not serious. No one can take it seriously. It's just nasty and wrong. It is perception, often more than reality, that matters. Back to the New York Times story, said Keith Darden, a political science professor at American University in Washington. If enough people believe that a government is not elected legitimately, that's a huge problem for democracy, he said. Dr. Darden said that Republican leaders who encouraged Mr. Trump's claims of a stolen election were going down a dangerous path, one whose end might be unpredictable. And as far as this is concerned, the most worrying thing was that there were 126 Republican members of the House of Representatives who signed on to that lawsuit by the state of Texas that wasn't even heard by the Supreme Court. And none of President Trump's own appointees, not Neil Gorsuch, not Brett Kavanaugh, not Amy Coney Barrett, none of them even thought it was worth listening to. Why? Because it was ridiculous. Once reality gets degraded, it's really hard to get it back, he said. Hey, I disagree. We're getting it back right now. And then they go back to talking to this Mr. Everett they were describing at the beginning. Mr. Everett, who went to the rally on Saturday, used to be a figure skater in the Ice Capades and now works in maintenance at a hotel. He didn't vote in 2016 either. But he said he went to the polls this time because he was worried Mr. Trump might not win. and because he did not like the long-established leaders of both parties. So, what now? We'll give some hint about that, a tribute to Sarah Fuller, and what happens to the Electoral College. That on the Medved Show, we like to call attention to numbers, statistics that are optimistic about our country. Well, here's one that's not so optimistic, but it's very, very real. There are now 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to aging, exercise, overexertion. Now, Relief Factor can help, particularly with the exercise-related pain or the general muscle aches and pains that many of us experience. I use Relief Factor myself, and I'm proud to do so because this is a great natural product with no medicines or drugs, no addictive qualities at all. Click on the banner at our website at michaelmedved.com for Relief Factor. Order that quick start. Get thanked by listeners for this all the time. I hope you become one of those thankful listeners too. Call 833-654-PAIN. It's toll free. 833-654-PAIN. Or go to the website michaelmedved.com and click on the big banner for Relief Factor.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and when I invented my pillow, I wanted it to have everything you'd ever want in a pillow. You can adjust the patented fill to your exact individual needs. You can wash and dry my pillow. It has a 10-year warranty not to go flat, and it's made in the USA. And now, for a limited time, you can get a queen-size premium my pillow for the lowest price ever. Regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. That's a $40 savings. I'm also giving you deep discounts on all my MyPillow products, including my bed sheets, mattress toppers, and bath towels. Not only are you getting the lowest prices ever, but they make the best Christmas gifts ever. Buy now, and I'll extend my 60-day money-back guarantee to March 1st, 2021.
Call 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MEDVED. Call 800-320-6280. Promo code MEDVED.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Maybe wishful thinking on my part, but I believe that in the spirit of the season, as we stand today, just 10 days away from the biggest religious holiday in the country, which is what Christmas is. And whether you're religious or not, you recognize its religious roots. And with Christmas coming on, doesn't it feel a little bit more preposterous to suggest we're on the verge of civil war, we're on the verge of martial law, we're on the verge of Americans dying in the streets? Now, we had some terrible violence over the weekend. There was a young man who was shot. The other young man, who was 25, who shot him, is in custody, has not been identified yet. Apparently, the young man who was shot was somebody with a criminal record who had been part of Antifa actions for property destruction. Not that he deserved to get shot. Nobody deserves to get it shot. And the young man who had shot him was somebody who had come out to a pro-Trump demonstration in Olympia, Washington. And again, it disturbs me, but not the way it used to. Once upon a time, in the middle of the election campaign, when people were talking about a civil war or about secession or about the Union breaking up or Americans not being able to live together, there was a truly stupid announcement that was made by Alan West, who was the chairman. Yes, he's a war hero, and yes, he's a decorated veteran of our military, but Colonel West wrote a tweet suggesting that it may be time for some states to secede from the Union. This his reaction to the Supreme Court case that did not take seriously the argument that the state of Texas should determine what happens in another state that is run by Republicans, say the state of Georgia, or the state of Arizona, for that matter, or the state of Pennsylvania. Texas is Texas. We have sovereign states. I mean, I thought that Republicans believed in states' rights. The point about all of this is that really the nation goes on. And again, it's one of those situations where, like other Republicans, most other Republicans, I was bitterly, bitterly, bitterly disappointed when President Obama beat John McCain. And I was concerned because President Obama had run on a far-left platform, and he had run to fundamentally transform America. And again, I was concerned about what would happen to our foreign policy, what would happen to our economy, what would happen to our country. And I don't believe that President Barack Obama was a good president. I don't believe that he benefited the country. But I do believe, if you look back at those 8 years, the catastrophes, the end of the world, the notion that America would be unrecognizable or it would be taken over in some kind of socialist dictatorship, that didn't happen. And by the way, there's an acknowledgement today by Bret Stephens. Bret has never been a fan of President Trump, has been strongly opposed to him, even though Bret is conservative. And he talks about a meeting that was held. I didn't even know about this. After Trump was elected, President Obama called in for a meeting a number of anti-Trump conservatives. And he asked them what they expected would happen in the Trump administration. And Bret Stephens recounts people expected a collapse of the economy. They expected fighting in the streets and crime to surge and America to fall apart and a number of people expected nuclear war. Now, none of that happened. And Bret Stephens in the New York Times, no fan of Trump, recognizes that it's worth looking back and understanding that some of the very worst expectations that people had about President Trump didn't come true. And I say that for the benefit of those people who believe that we're going to have a total takeover of the United States by Antifa, that things are going to break down. I'm not saying that the Biden administration is going to be a new golden age or even necessarily positive. But I do believe that America is not on the verge of annihilation and extinction, as so many people had come to believe if their side didn't win. And you heard this on both sides. There were people from the Biden camp who believed that another 4 years of Donald Trump would mean the end of democracy in America. It would mean the total corrosion of our institutions. And look, there are lots of reasons that people could be negative on Donald Trump, and justified reasons, it seems to me. There are lots of reasons people can be negative on Joe Biden and the people he's bringing to power. But the country is bigger than that. And it's stronger than that. And I think that people are coming to that recognition. You know what will help a great deal is if they go ahead and they pass the extended spending. They're working on a spending bill that would keep the government operating at least until next September. Wouldn't that be a worthwhile thing to do so we don't have to go through this charade all the time? And they're also looking at a coronavirus, a COVID-19 relief package, not as big as the last one, but bigger than the Republicans initially wanted, and not quite as big as the Democrats had initially passed. If something like that gets passed and our institutions continue to work, and if President Trump surprises everybody, and I think he might, and actually decides to attend the inauguration, rather than breaking a very long tradition. The last time an American president did not attend the inauguration of his successor in a peaceful transfer of power was in 1869. That's a while ago. And it would be a positive development. We are not fighting in the streets. But there is, with the COVID-19 and some of the hysteria, and I think that, again, with the election in the process of being settled, this is going to calm down. This got almost no attention, and it troubles me. But the headline, some headline is, suspect sought in Hanukkah attack. Well, it gets my attention. A man shouting anti-Semitic slurs from an SUV ran over a member of a Jewish organization as a crowd gathered this weekend to light a menorah. Lexington, Kentucky police were looking for a man described as being in his 20s who was driving a black SUV. The attack was captured on video. Chabad of the Bluegrass said on its Facebook page that a man pulled up in a vehicle outside the Jewish Student Center near University of Kentucky, Lexington, as people prepared to light a menorah on Saturday for the third night of
trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump has not changed his mind about the results of the election after the Electoral College certified President-elect Joe Biden's victory.
The campaign would have more specifics for you on legal recourse, but yesterday was one step in the constitutional process leading up to the January 20th date in the Constitution.
At the briefing, White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany had no comment about the news that Russian President Vladimir Putin had publicly congratulated Biden. FDA Commissioner Stephen Hahn is hopeful another coronavirus vaccine will be approved later this week.
We have a vaccine advisory committee meeting on Thursday where we'll have a full public vetting of it, and we expect to follow a similar course.
Biotech company Moderna behind this vaccine. Hahn also praising President Trump for his leadership during the vaccine development process. USA Radio News.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Election calming down, and I think calming down notably just in the last 2 days. We also see, I think, a beginning of a recession, not an economic recession, but the receding of the demands that the Electoral College must be abolished. Hillary Clinton says, I believe we should abolish the Electoral College and select our president by the winner of the popular vote, same as every other office. Well, the founders disagreed with her. Why did they disagree with her, and why is it worth preserving the Electoral College? There's a thoughtful piece about that. It's posted at michaelmedved.com. It appeared in First Things, and the author of the piece is with us. His name is Trent England. He is the founder and executive director of Save Our States. In the past, he's worked for Claremont Institute, for the Heritage Foundation, for the Freedom Foundation, and more. Trent, it's great to speak to you, and great to talk to you particularly about this subject.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Michael. Thank you.
My pleasure. First of all, obviously part of what happened with the Electoral College is that the sort of the blaring klaxon horn, the warning that everybody had, oh, no, are we coming up to the third time in just six elections where a loser of the electoral of the popular vote would win the Electoral College. Well, we didn't. The Electoral College went along with the popular vote. Shouldn't that serve to undermine some of the intensity from the demands to get rid of the Electoral College?
I think for some people it should, although I understand why for some other people it doesn't. I mean, what happened in this last election really is an example of how well the Electoral College works in two different ways. You know, most importantly, I think, it forced the Democrats to nominate someone who, at least relative to their field of candidates, was more moderate than the other more extreme choices like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. They did that explicitly to appeal to a broader group of states. They knew they needed to win back places like Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin. And that's the incentive that the Electoral College creates in our national politics. And the other thing is just looking at these disputes that we've seen since Election Day, at least we're talking about individual states and not talking about nationwide recounts and not looking at a situation where, you know, an urban political machine in a one-party state is able to churn out questionable votes where there's really no potential for oversight versus, you know, disputes in states where both parties share some power. So I think in both of those ways, it really shows why the Electoral College is beneficial. On the other hand, I get it. If you're a Democrat who wishes the party could nominate someone much farther to the left and still have a chance at winning, you know, I think that's a lot of the push to get rid of the Electoral College is to create this opening for a new kind of, you know, big city, far left driven politics that might, you know, create an opening for the next Bernie Sanders, maybe an AOC or someone like that in a future election.
Well, again, you write in your piece, which is outstanding, and I urge people to take a look at it. You write in your piece, the Electoral College works even better than the American founders hoped. It allows states to remain in charge of elections, contains disputes, limits frauds, and promotes a duopoly of diverse national coalition parties rather than a proliferation of interest group or geographic parties. That's one of the reasons that the founders started the Electoral College or made it a feature of the Constitution. And as you point out rightly, of course, they did that at the very end of the Constitutional Convention, toward the very end of the convention, is the idea that you don't want one region of the country, you don't want just big states, you don't want one state in particular or a few of them that are so populous that they can basically control an entire diverse nation. In other words, we're protecting the original American diversity, which is a diversity among states, yeah?
That's exactly right. You know, I think James Madison does not get nearly enough credit today for his wanting to, you know, in at least the modern parlance, celebrate diversity. I mean, Madison believed in trying to sort of maximize the role of many different groups of Americans in politics and make sure we had a dynamic system where, you know, even if you lose this time, you can look at the rules and say, I have a real shot at having some influence the next time around. And that was why he didn't support a direct election. He actually said a couple times at the Constitutional Convention that he liked the idea of a direct popular vote for president, particularly as opposed to the original rough draft in the Virginia plan that called for a parliamentary system, really, where Congress would elect the president. Madison says, look, you know, there's obvious appeal to a popular vote, but we can't do that because the big population centers would control, you know, at the time it was the big states, everybody else would be left out. They'd be left out in perpetuity. And Madison says that's not a good political system. We've got to do something that at least gives everyone the possibility of having a voice. And, you know, you fast forward up to the 1970s, the big defenders of the Electoral College in that era were civil rights groups, civil rights leaders like Vernon Jordan, who were out there arguing, and absolutely correctly, that the Electoral College was helping to incorporate minority Americans, racial minority Americans at the time, into American politics after the Voting Rights Act. And, you know, it's really a tribute to the success of this system that we don't really worry about political stability and building coalitions anymore. But I think we tinker with the foundations at our great peril.
You know, that in our history, we've only had four elections where a loser of the popular vote, I'm not talking about somebody who doesn't get a majority, but a loser of the popular vote, where the other guy got more votes, actually the loser ended up becoming president. Two of them have happened recently, of course, and are very much in everyone's minds with George W. Bush and Donald Trump. Most people forget about Rutherford B. Hayes and Benjamin Harrison. But, okay, why do you think it's happened more recently that somebody can lose the popular vote and still win the Electoral College?
Well, I think it's very instructive that you have that period, 1876 and 1888, and then we have this period again, 2000, 2016. And looking at American politics in those two eras, you see a very divided country. You know, some of the elections in both periods of time, the popular vote is very close, and obviously the electoral votes are close, and in two cases in each period going to, against the popular vote. And it really has to do, I mean, interestingly enough, in both cases with the Democratic Party in particular becoming regionalized. You know, it, in the late 19th century, it was in the South. Today, it's in the big cities where they were so popular in their region, right? They could churn out so many votes in the Deep South or so many votes today in California and New York that they overperform in the popular vote but underperform in the Electoral College. And, you know, the irony is it really forced the Democratic Party in the late 19th century to rebuild itself as a big national coalition party and really the precursor to the coalition party that enjoyed so much power in the 20th century. You know, you think about a party that had Ku Klux Klan members in its coalition in the South at the same time reaching out to new Irish and German Catholic immigrants in the North. That's not a natural thing to happen. That doesn't just happen. That's the incentive of the Electoral College forcing the Democratic Party to find new voters in new, you know, in other states where they weren't winning. And today, you know, hopefully they'll continue on this.
Exactly right, and extremely insightful. I do want to urge people to check out your piece From First Things in defense of the Electoral College, and you'll read more and find more. And what about a diverse and storied football career coming to a premature end? We'll talk about it.
Hi, I'm Nick Grovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, serving collectors since 1983. Our reputation is spotless, which is why well-respected radio talk show hosts Dennis Prager and Michael Medved have recommended me for years. Some dealers offer gimmicks like free silver. Really, free silver? They have to make that cost up somewhere. Others tell you to drop in and offer gold and silver bullion, but use bait and switch tactics to sell you expensive collectible coins instead. While they're fun and historical, they're usually marked up 10 times as much as bullion. Have questions? Give me a call and I'll share my 4 decades of experience with you. Whether you want to buy, sell, or trade, call me at 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or visit AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694.
The country and culture are in turmoil. Our Judeo-Christian founding is being attacked. We're told that America didn't begin in 1776 with a stirring vision of the founders, but in 1619 with slave owners. One organization that resists this dubious narrative and proudly holds true to this nation's first principles is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll see insightful, bold opinion pieces on subjects like religious freedom, socialism, free markets, and above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization. See Dr. David Ayers on Why Did They Steal My Flag? See Dr. Gary Smith on I Still Like Ike? See our friend Paul Kangor's latest on Karl Marx's nasty views on Christianity, Judaism, evolution, and race. And don't miss the video of Professor Kangor's interview with Selena Zito, the woman who predicted the 2016 election. See what she has to say about 2020. You can find all of this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom, www.faithandfreedom.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Country, and we're a fortunate region, and we're fortunate. There are a lot of people out there where you kind of ask the question, okay, if you're doing holiday shopping for Hanukkah or for Christmas, and you want to get a gift to somebody who has everything, what do you get him or her? What you can do is you can honor them by giving a gift to somebody who has absolutely nothing. If you take a look at Next Generation Ministries, they really are changing an entire nation, one person at a time, with food relief, a gift of $40. That's all. Can feed a hungry child for a month, or $10. You can feed a hungry child for a week. Check it out. It takes only literally 2 minutes to send out this gift. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Next Generation Ministries, or you can go there directly. It's a beautiful charity, and they do a great job. Okay, speaking of holiday celebrations, the report in the New York Post, and I know this is going to break hearts everywhere, Sarah Fuller's incredible, legendary, storied, celebrated, amazing and inspiring college football career has come to an end. On November 28th, which I'm sure is going to be a national holiday, she became the first woman ever to play in a Power 5 football game. And she was just robbed of another chance to kick as Vanderbilt's season finale against Georgia was canceled because of COVID-19 protocols. Fuller is a goalie for the Vanderbilt women's soccer team. She made her football debut with a kickoff against Missouri on November 28th. It was a kickoff that went almost 30 yards. But she had a more successful game against Tennessee. Now, Vanderbilt didn't. Vanderbilt lost to Missouri 41-0. They lost to Tennessee 42-17. But This will give you a flavor of some of the spectacular highlights in Sarah Fuller's career. From November 28th, there was this magical moment, clip one.
And wouldn't you know it, history is on the field in Columbia, Missouri, as Sarah Fuller is about to put her right foot into a football, speaking volumes to women around the world.
Awesome, awesome moment. You can hear the crowd. Everybody understands what's happening right now. This is a pretty cool moment.
And the kick down at the 35-yard line, and Sarah Fuller. Happy Thanksgiving. What a day. What a day in college football.
Okay, amazing. And then this past weekend, she actually did even better. She kicked an extra point. She did, successfully. And not just one, but two of them. Listen.
2 weeks ago, rather, she made history as the first female to ever kick off at the Power 5 level. Now she can be the first to make an extra point at the Power 5 level. Right through there. More history on display for the Vanderbilt Commodores and Sarah Fuller.
You know, what I love about this is both these games she's played in, her team, the Commodores, got walloped. They were outscored a total of, let's see, it was a total of 83-20. Okay, here's what's happening with Sarah Fuller. She is going to play this spring. The game for Vanderbilt was canceled this weekend, so she's not playing. She is going to play this spring soccer, which is the sport she's concentrated on, women's soccer. She's going to be playing with the NCAA tournament pushed back because of the pandemic. And then afterwards, she's going to transfer to North Texas to play the final 2 years of her college career in soccer. She told Yahoo Sports that she has no plans to play football again at North Texas. But if the North Texas Mean Green need her, as Vanderbilt did this fall due to COVID-19, she would answer the call. Okay, maybe she can help the Jets. That's right. I mean, again, they're playing soccer, and they were. Outstanding! What they got a field goal against the Seahawks, and the Jets are 0-13. Okay, this should turn out well. I did want to finish the one story because it shows a particular Hanukkah hero, and with today being the fourth day of Hanukkah. The Chabad of the Bluegrass in Lexington, Kentucky. And Chabad is an organization that has devoted itself really to building menorahs outside that everybody can see, getting permits, lighting them in public. They even have one in Red Square. And they got the one-time president of Russia, my namesake, Dmitry Medvedev, to light it there. But in any event, they were lighting a menorah at University of Kentucky. A guy came by yelling anti-Semitic stuff, someone in his 20s in a black SUV. And then he grabbed the rabbi who was presiding over the occasion by the arm and started to drive away. And he held him on the car and then ran over his leg. So it's a serious assault. The attacker grabbed the man and held his arm, dragging him for a block and running over his leg. The car then sped off. Before he left for the hospital, the newest hero of Hanukkah, whose name is Shlomo Litvin, the newest hero of Hanukkah insisted that we light the menorah and not allow darkness to quench our light. That's a good thing. So Darkness or Light, for a much acclaimed movie that is streaming pretty much everywhere right now on Netflix, I believe. Check it out. The movie is called Mank, about one of the most legendary films ever made.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Gary Oldman may be competing for another Oscar nomination as the legendary Hollywood screenwriter Herman J. Mankiewicz in David Fincher's expertly crafted evocation of the making of Citizen Kane in 1941. The new film on Netflix is called Mank.
You cannot capture a man's entire life in 2 hours. All you can hope is to leave the impression of one.
Rendered in ravishingly beautiful black and white, this long and utterly compelling film offers marvelous performances by Amanda Seyfried, Lily Collins, Arliss Howard, and more in a tremendous cast. Its drawbacks involve a meandering interlude involving a famous gubernatorial campaign in California in 1934, and a limp ending that tells you nothing about the reception or historic impact of the great film that all these characters are battling to create. It's rated R and runs well over 2 hours. 3 stars for the fascinating, occasionally frustrating Mank. And the one thing is that you could have made, I suppose, a really exciting film about Orson Welles, who was 24 years old, who was the director and star of this movie, struggling to get it made and coming up with ideas and trying to be able to afford with a fairly limited budget the sets that he wanted. But this is not that. This is really not about the making of the film. It's about the writing of the film. And it's amazing how well the director here, David Fincher, makes the act of writing of a screenwriter who's just had an injured leg for reasons that you'll find out in the movie, and is drinking far too much, how he is struggling just to get these pages done. And of course, it's illustrated with flashbacks that give you some sense of who he was and what the time was about. Speaking about what the time is about, our time is about idiotic city governments that go too far to the left. What about the idea in Los Angeles that the district attorney is ordering no more dehumanizing language, such as inmate, prisoner, criminal, or offender? So what are they going to say instead? We'll tell you. The New York City Council has passed a new law that would ban officers of the police department from dealing with the street homeless. And Seattle weighs the idea of a poverty or insanity defense for most misdemeanor crimes. People won't even be charged in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.